Chronicles 20. I want to, out of the gate, do something and then end the service with some assignments. I want to go ahead and give you the word this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to do this, and then we're going to respond to the word that I bring this morning with a song that I hope by faith you can engage your heart, and a declaration with all of our lives that's around the issue of a spirit of thanksgiving within our lives. 2 Chronicles 20, I think we may have those verses, I'm not sure, up here. If not, please grab your Bibles. But this is one of those famous stories in the scriptures, dramatic and awesome to read, where Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. At this time, there's Judah and there's Israel. They've separated out. There's the other 10, 11 tribes, and then Judah's got its own king. And Jehoshaphat is the king, and they're being attacked by three armies. It starts in verse 1 saying, "After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with some of them, the Mennonites or Menuhites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. But some men came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A great multitude is coming against us from Edom,'" which is modern-day Jordan. So from the east, these three armies are coming toward Jerusalem, toward Israel, where the kingdom is. Verse 3, "Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah assembled to seek the help from the Lord, for all the cities of Judah, from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." So Jehoshaphat shows wisdom, responds to his fear by pointing everyone toward the Lord. Then in verse 5 through 12, he prays a prayer. And I'm going to read parts of this, but highlight a part. It says, "And Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court." In verse 6, he said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. You in your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of the land before your people in Israel?" As he speaks of back in the time of Joshua, as they were possessing the land. And he speaks about how the Lord provided for them in famine, provided for them houses, and did amazing things. Jump with me to verse 12. "O our God, will you not execute judgment on them, the enemies that are against us? For I love this. For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are to you." That's a verse. "We do not know what to do with these circumstances, these armies pressing in, these finances pressing in, these relational troubles pressing in. But we choose as a nation to set our eyes on you." In the midst of their eyes being set on them, verse 13, it says, "While they stood there, the Spirit of the Lord came on a guy named Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, of Benaiah, son of Jael, of another guy in the assembly. And the Spirit fell on him, and he said, 'Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat and everyone in El Dorado. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, it is God's. Tomorrow go down." I want you to move out and go toward this great three armies and move out against them. "Behold, they're going to come up. They'll be around Ziz. They'll be in the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Stand firm." This is what I'm asking you to do. Go out and meet them. Stand firm. Hold your position. And then see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. "O Judah and Jerusalem," here it is again, "do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow you will go out against them, and the Lord for sure will be with you." After this Spirit-led word, Jehoshaphat bowed his head and face to the ground. He and all of these Levites and all began to worship and to praise the Lord in a very loud voice, because they had a word of victory that was released in the midst of a fearful situation. In verse 20 it says, "And they rose early the next morning, and they went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went out, Jehoshaphat said, 'Hear me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you'll be established. Believe in his prophets who deliver his word, and you will succeed. So set your faith in the word of the Lord, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you'll succeed. Which he had taken count, when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire, gathered all of them. We don't know tens, hundreds, we don't know what it is. And he appointed them to say this phrase: give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. That's it. I want you to say this over and over and over in unison with tenors and basses and all that were there. They were saying, give thanks to the Lord, for your loving kindness endures forever. Verse 20 is our action point. 22. And when they began to sing and praise the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy one another. And then the story goes on that Israel comes up and sees the three armies plundered and dead bodies everywhere and did not raise one sword. Here's my point this morning. I am challenging you, and we've had a bit of a theme of this, but I want to make a strong call to you to choose to walk in a spirit of thanksgiving in your life so that life is released, and to reject a life of fear and discouragement. To not walk dismayed and discouraged and fearful, but to walk in a spirit of thanksgiving and praise. God designed you to do this. He called us to do this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, love this verse that's couched in the calls to pray without ceasing and rejoice always. We have this verse, and it says, give thanks in all circumstances. In my Bible, I circle all. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Many people wondering, what's the will of God for me? What's the will of God for me? I got one for you right here. It's the will of God that you give thanks in all circumstances, because some powerful, dynamic things happen when you walk out a life of praise and thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4 mentions one of those. In Philippians 4, it says to be anxious, to not be unsettled and fearful about anything, but with prayer and petition, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then what happens? The peace of God, which surpasses understanding. You know, when you do the math on the situation, you're like, I shouldn't feel peace. But you'll get a peace that transcends understanding, and it will do a guarding work on your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. I tell you, God designed you to be a person who gives thanks in all circumstances, in the good, in the bad, and in the ugly. And when you do that, you begin to unlock blessing in your personal life. Thanksgiving is a driver aware of anxiety and fear. Fear is not something that you should feel ashamed about, but it's something you should not dwell in. While we are still being sanctified, things alarm us. Things strike our hearts. News comes that makes us fear. And right there at that point, it's about what you'll do with that. And I'm telling you this, thanksgiving will drive away anxiety and bless you spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Your soul will be touched, your emotions, your mind that are all in turmoil. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will fill those and rejoice. You're not made to be a complainer. I tell you, when you embrace complaining and negativity, you're doing the opposite of what your good God called you to do. He called your tongue to be a praising tongue, to be a thanksgiving tongue, and not just when circumstances are good, but all the time. And when you do that, you bless your spirit, your soul, and I believe it even blesses your body. I believe that praise and joy and thanksgiving, I've even talked to some medical people, releases life and endorphins and joy within us. The Lord did not cause us to be fearful people. There's so many diseases and stomach problems that are being produced because people embrace fear instead of embracing thanksgiving and praise. And it's going to take a decision for you to do this. I've been telling some people around and reminding them. I did this in a wedding yesterday. I never had to teach my children to have a bad attitude. None of them. I never had to teach any of them to whine and want their own way. We didn't take, you know, time to do that. They naturally did it. Did anybody else's children do that? They just do it. I never have to go, now here's a lesson in how to really have a bad attitude. Here's what you'll want to do when I say no. You know you're going to have to cry and whine. And that stuff just comes up out of that Adam nature. It's so easy to be negative. Have you noticed that? It's so easy. You don't have to practice it. You don't have to work at it. It's just the automatic default position within that Adam flesh nature. Negativity is the easy thing. What's hard is for you to choose to be positive. It's hard for you to choose to be thankful, to set your eyes on the Lord and to receive His word and then to choose to walk in thanksgiving. This is what's against your nature and this is what you were made to do. The Adam race, the sinful race, is negative. They speak negative. They complain about things. The Christ race, people in Jesus begin to speak praise and thanksgiving even when their eye cannot see a reason to do it. They do it because their God is good. Jehoshaphat is in that place. Three armies are going to come in and literally murder them, their wives, and their children. It's a bad day. Fear strikes his heart. And let me say this. Don't feel guilty for feeling initial fear before you are fully redeemed. But you cannot dwell in fear. You got to make a decision at that crossroad. What will you do? Will you embrace this and agree with it and empower the enemy? Or are you going to do something different? Jehoshaphat does something different. He works his way out of the natural inclination of fear by praying, fasting, and setting his eyes. Oh, how I love the phrase, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I do not know what to do, but my eye is on you. You will never hear a victory word from the Lord if your eye is on your problem. You won't. Your ears will be full of the buzzing of fear and anxiety and worry and trying to use your brain about how to get out of your trouble. I tell you, the only way you hear an anointed word of victory that catapults you into the victory position is if you get your eye off your circumstance and your eye on your God who is bigger than your circumstance. Would everybody in this room believe that our God is more powerful than any enemy on the planet? Amen? I don't have to wait to see him beat something. I got chronicled history of my victory God, and I've got prophecy of the victory that's coming. We win, we win, we win. We may take a licking for a while, but we win. And he's calling for a people that will declare his praises in the midst of the trouble. How I love to read the stories about how the Roman Emperor Nero was feeding people to lions and they're singing praise songs. That's just shocking to me. And I'm thinking none of those people were from America. They're in the middle of a terrible situation, about to be torn apart by wild beasts, and they're choosing to praise because they know that they have a resurrection God. Nothing can beat me when I'm in the unbeatable God. Nothing can kill me when I'm in the undiable God. This is the reality. This is the truth. Jehoshaphat gets a whole nation with their eye. That's the trick. I'm telling you, it's everything. It's hard to get your eye off the trouble. But once you move your heart and get your eye on him, then you can receive a word that is for us in every situation. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed at this great horde, at this great problem. For the battle is not yours, it is God's. I would like us all to say that together. Would you read it with me? 1, 2, 3. For the battle is not yours, it is God's. One more time. The battle is not yours, it is God's. You got to remember, because all of us are checking the arsenal of the weaponry we have to face the great horde that is before us, and you do not have it, and by the way, you do not need it. You don't need it because you got a God who can come through in every situation in his own time. So he says this, tomorrow go down and face your problem. Do not walk in denial. I don't know if you've noticed, but denial never fixes anything. Putting it off, putting it out of your mind, acting like it's not there, will never fix the deal. You got to go face it and face it with a fresh word from the Lord that he will win in the midst of it. Jehoshaphat then makes a decision with that victory word, which is my word to you today. He sets a group of singers, a group of sayers before the warriors, and they begin to say it. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. His loving kindness never, ever fails. And they said it, and they said it, and it resonated out through the valley and out through the hills as they said their praise. And it says in verse 22, what happened, everybody? I'm telling you, doing thanksgiving not only blesses you personally, and it not only blesses those around you. By the way, have you noticed being around thanksgiving people is better than being around negative people? Has anybody noticed that? I never got around a complainer and went, wow, that was awesome. They made me feel great. It's a chain reaction. I'm telling you, you think you're complaining to someone is just you blowing off steam. You're sowing seeds. You are. And I don't want people to be fake and non-real. Sometimes we need to share our heart. But I tell you, if you're a believer, that thing is not gossip and slander and dismay and discouragement. It's stating the situation and then stating it by faith that you're going to get through. I'm telling you, it's a big deal. It really is a big deal. It always edifies people when we're full of faith and full of thanksgiving. It sucks people down when we are complaining. Listen, thanksgiving blesses you. It blesses those around you, and thanksgiving activates something in the spirit realm. It says in verse 22, as they began to sing, what happened? God set ambushes. He set ambushes, and the enemy went into a spirit of confusion and ended up annihilating itself. There's something about thanksgiving that's involved in spiritual warfare. I believe when you get thankful, you set ambushes against the enemy. I believe that when you get thankful, you give permission, excuse those words, for the Spirit of God to engage in your situation and to break the back of an enemy that is around you. Now, I want to be really clear. You being thankful and the enemy that needs broken the back is not maybe keeping you from martyrdom. People die, people suffer, people go through things, but you can do that with a spirit of thanksgiving. And if you do that, then fear is off you, blessing comes like on Stephen, and your face can glow like an angel, and then lots of people get impacted and saved because you did not complain in your struggle, you gave thanksgiving. I'm asking all of you today to make a resolve, and it's tough. I know it's tough because things on planet Earth are hard. People are mean. Money doesn't come in fast enough. There is opportunities to complain. Everybody that's had an opportunity to be discouraged and fearful in November, say, oh my. Yeah, that's all of us. I could have said this morning probably, right? You're going to have it this afternoon. You're going to have it tonight. You're going to have it tomorrow. And you can either default to the position of just reacting like the flesh will react and complain, or you can take a stand. Here it was. Take a stand. Hold your position. Stand firm, and where we stand is in the victory word of God. He always wins, and we make that resolve. Jonathan and team, I want to sing a song. We're going to sing a song in response to this. As disciples, we believe this is a disciples' meeting. This is huge, everybody. It's a big deal. It's big right now while you're living in blessed America. It's going to be bigger when you're living in not as blessed America, when things begin to come down the pike, and right now we got to exercise our heart to choose not to fear, to choose to believe. And what I want to do is sing by faith this song that I've asked Jonathan and them to sing. And you know the song, but it's called Forever, and it's this song they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. I'd like you to remain seated while we do this, and for you to make a resolve of singing this song by faith. I bet all of you have got issues of what you could be complaining about today. There's things not right on the Western Front, if you will. And we've got some things. But listen, right now, you can decide in this room what you're going to do, what your response is going to be. So I'm asking us all corporately together to be as those frontline people who were in front of the army. And I want you to sing. I'd like everybody to try to sing today, to sing and give praise, especially in the midst of your trial and your trouble, to begin to activate the peace of God in your life, to bless those that are around you, and to begin to activate spiritual war in the spirit realm as the Lord brings you victory. Let us by faith sing this, and then we'll have a prayer together. Takes practice. I'm asking you now, this morning, to make a fresh resolve to be a worshiper instead of a whiner, to be a singer instead of a complainer. This would be interesting if we shifted the way we responded to trouble. It's okay to be human and to have an initial response of anxiety and fear. It's not okay as a believer to lay down in that bed, to snuggle up with a blanket that will be bad for you. It is our decision and our resolve, and the Holy Spirit has empowered us to do this. There's so much grace that could be released and so much victory that could manifest if God's people were a praising people. Now, I understand there's some people in here that might be going, you have no idea what's been done to me, what's been done around me, to know whether I could be a praiser. I don't know. All I know is the most perfect man on planet Earth bore the sorrows of every human being on Earth, bore the sins and bore the troubles, and died a painful death so you and I could have our burdens lifted. I want to encourage you can do this, but you're going to have to practice. That's why I sang that song. That's what we do on Sunday mornings. This is not our only time of worship. We're practicing. I hope that you'll sing during the week. Wouldn't it be interesting if that devil that's so used to you adding your amen through complaining all of a sudden started hearing you sing worship songs? That would be a cool replacement. You can do this. Love is not a feeling, it's a choice. Worship and praise is not a feeling, it's a choice. If you're waiting to feel like you should praise, you're going to be waiting a while because it's a messy planet. The Lord's looking for people that will make this choice. So I'm going to ask you right now, every head bowed and every eye closed, for you to make your fresh commitment to the Lord about what you're going to do with your tongue, what you're going to do with your mouth, what you're going to do with your heart as it relates to trouble on this planet. I would encourage you, if you can, to make fresh resolves to be a person of thanksgiving and praise. Father, we bow before you now as a family. It's so easy to default to complaining, and the things in our life hurt and they ache and it's painful. But thank you that you bore our pain and that you gave us two options. You've set before us life and death, a blessing and a curse. And I pray for resolve within your people now as they make commitments to you to choose life and blessing in the midst of a cursed land. Just quietly before the Lord in your own heart, tell him what you want to do with this. Father, hear the prayers of your people. And I pray that we be a community of faith, a spiritual family that chooses praise and thanksgiving. We thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for breath. Thank you for heartbeat. Thank you, you've kept us alive. Thank you most of all for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you've saved us when we saw it happening and when we have not seen it happening. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for the brightest future that our minds cannot even imagine. We praise you. We praise you that you win and that we win in you. Thank you. Train us to be a people who truly give you the praise that you're worth in the midst of trial. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.